Thank you, Kelly, for reading that for us. Hope everyone's had a good day so far. I know we're getting out of here. We have to go battle the weather, but of course that is a blessing as well, right? How we approach things, how we look at the world around us, it changes our attitude, our mindset changes our situations around us, hopefully for the better. And as Christians, even in our darkest times, you know, we can have a joy and a peace that comes from nowhere else. And so we're blessed in that way. We've been going through the book of Ephesians on our Sunday mornings, and we'll continue to do that as we make our way through the book. We're in chapter 2 today. I'll let you know the scriptures we'll be in. I won't have any scriptures up on the board behind me because they're larger chunks that we'll look at. And I don't know if we're allowed to refer to Bible parts as chunks, but good chunk of scripture. So we will be in Genesis chapter 11. If you want to put a little bookmark in Genesis chapter 11, we will be in Acts chapter 2, and then we will be in Ephesians chapter 2 as well. So if you got it on your phone or your Bibles, and we do have the Bibles there on the back of the pew that you can use as well. Last week we were talking about Gentiles and Jews who were separate, but through Christ, they are now part of one family. We're gonna kind of run with that idea a little bit here today, that the two that were separate are now one. And we read in chapter 2 of Ephesians, starting in verse 11, he says, "Remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision that's done in the body by the hands of men. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenant of the promise, without hope and without God in the world." That's the state that they were in. That's the state all mankind is in without Christ, right? Verse 13, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one, and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations." He made the two one. He destroyed the barrier of hostility. If we were able to go in the time of Jesus to the temple, there would be an outer court of the temple that everyone was allowed to go in. It didn't matter your background. It didn't matter your sex. You were allowed to go into this area. But there was a barrier, a wall, that they speculate wasn't like a large wall. It would have been a smaller wall. But if you were a Gentile and you were allowed to, or you went across on the other side of this wall, it was punishable by death. There actually was a barrier, a dividing wall, in which you could not proceed into the next temple court. What Paul is saying is that that barrier, that dividing wall, has been destroyed in Christ. And so now you are able to approach, you are able to go before God in a way in which you have not been able to before. Of course, the temple is no longer there, that wall is no longer there. But for us, there is nothing keeping us from going before the Creator of the world. And that has been done through Jesus Christ. And how there once were two people, a people that were called out, a special group that had a special relationship with God, that were allowed to enter into his presence, at least through a high priest. And they had the law, and they had this relationship, although not always kept properly by them. They had a special relationship with God. They were chosen, and everyone else was out. Now we are a part of that group through Jesus Christ. The two have become one. In verse 15, halfway through, Paul says his purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, one new humanity out of the two. This is what we were talking about last week. And in this one body, to reconcile both of them to God through the cross. And so that both groups now come to God through the cross of Jesus Christ. He's put to death this hostility between us. And so those that were far away, us, have now been drawn near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. And that's the message that Paul was giving this to the church in Ephesus and the churches in the surrounding regions, that these two groups, y'all are not different. Yes, y'all are different, but you have what the most important thing in common. And you have access to your Creator through the same man, Jesus Christ. And that's what should draw you together. Now go with me, if you will, to Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11 occurs after the flood, right? Remember that man's deeds and his wickedness, so it had gone up before God. God was upset that he had made man. He said, I'm going to destroy them. But there was one man, Noah, who was righteous. God tells Noah to build an ark. He puts his family in it, two of every kind of animal. God floods the world. Everything is destroyed except for Noah and his family. They come out of the ark, and God tells them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, is what they're told. Tells Noah and his sons to do this. A couple chapters later, we get into chapter 11, and we have this story, starting in verse 1. Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. You know, we're not that far removed from the flood. There have been some generations now. The world, you know, the people have multiplied, but it's still one common language, we're told. One language and a common speech. As people moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly. And they used bricks instead of stone, and they used tar for mortar. They were going to build their own bricks, right? They were going to bake them, and maybe they had tar pits nearby. I don't know. But they got some tar and they for the mortar to hold these bricks together. And then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city. Let's build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens. Sounds like a good idea, right? But the reasoning for that is this, so that we may make a name for ourselves, so that we can make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. The Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language they've begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. So come down, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other. Let's take away that commonality that they have, because as one person, they're going to be able to accomplish all that they want. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, but it is a bad thing when what you want to accomplish is opposed to the will of God. And mankind, when we're usually, you know, set out on our own and want to follow our own devices, we tend to go against the will of God, right? And we can do a pretty good job of doing it as well. Verse 8, so the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. That's why it's called Babel, because the Lord confused the language of the whole world. And from there, the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. The story is normally called the Tower of Babel. It's not necessarily just about the tower. It's the entire city they wanted to build, right? But why did they want to build it? What's the problem here? The problem is, for one, they were disobeying the word of God, weren't they? They were told, God, Noah's sons, not just his immediate sons, but to continue to fill the earth, right? Fill the earth. And if you'll notice, no time does God's people come to a city or supposed to build a city until God gives them the promised land. They are called to be wanderers until God provides for them. Anytime they'd want to build a city or stop or establish, they would get sidetracked from what God had for them. We can be like this too in our own lives. We can get sidetracked from what God wants for us to try to build our own city, to build our own tower, to make a name for our own selves. And we get sidetracked from what God wants us to do and how he wants us to live. So their sin was that they were not fulfilling the commandment of filling the earth that God gave them, but also that they were wanting to make a name for themselves, right? And build a tower that reached up to the heavens. Who knew? Maybe this was partly because, hey guys, it might flood again. And we need to be able to go up into this tower to. That's possible, right? But this is what they wanted to do. God says, I don't like this. I'm going to make them scatter. I'm going to make them do what I said one way or another. So he confuses their language. They no longer have this thing in common. Things like language seem to separate us, don't they? We live in neighborhoods in which our languages are spoken. We want to be in areas in which we watch, you know, the things that we participate in, right? It wouldn't make sense for me to go to places where I don't speak the language. It's just hard to operate, right? It can be a headache. And sometimes I don't understand these people. And so it's just easier if I stay with folks that I'm like. We tend to do this as humans. And that's what they did there then. And that's the story of the Tower of Babel. And now I want you to go with me to Acts chapter 2. I would like to stick around and talk more about the Tower of Babel. We might come back to it a little bit, but we don't have that much time. I know there's some Mother's Day's dinners and lunches that you have to get to, I hope, right? And so let's go with me to Acts chapter 2. And in verse 1, When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Sounds similar to how the Tower of Babel story started, right? All the apostles are together in one place. Now, of course, this is after the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus had been with them for a while, teaching them post-resurrection. We can imagine how awesome that would be. And his command to them before he ascends into heaven is what? Go into all the earth, right? Very similar to what Noah coming out of the ark after humans were saved from the wrath of God, right? Go and to fill the earth. The apostles are told to go into all the earth. And when we get to Acts chapter 2, we realize they're not doing that. They are all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them. Very similar to the Tower of Babel story, but a little bit different, right? They're all together in one place, and so God's going to give them the ability to speak different languages. It's interesting when we read these two stories, we interpret them kind of differently, don't we? We see the giving of the different languages at Babel as almost like a punishment. And the giving of being able to speak different languages in Acts as a blessing and a gift of the Spirit. But both of them are to accomplish God's will for his people to go out into all the earth. There are many people from around the world that are in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost that will be going out back home into the world. And they will be taking with them the gospel message of Jesus Christ that they're going to hear in their own language on the day of Pentecost. God's will is going to be accomplished in both stories. What he wants to happen is going to happen. And really, he's doing it the same way. But one we kind of see as a punishment and the other as a blessing. Maybe what happened at the Tower of Babel was a blessing, right? And anything that I think pushes God's will forward is what's good. And so maybe it's not wrong or you know, a bad thing that happened, that it went down like that. Verse 5, still in Acts chapter 2. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And they heard this sound, and a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. And utterly amazed, they asked, aren't all these people speaking Galileans? Now, to us, that just means they were from Galilee. But to them, that means probably not educated, from very small towns, blue-collar, fishing communities. These are not the folks that you would expect at all to be able to speak languages from around the world. And there you can read in the Bible, I won't read them for you, but you can read the next few verses, all the different languages that they were speaking. How are these guys from this area, without education, able to speak to us all in this language? This is amazing. And they're confused, and they don't understand it. But look at what they're saying. Look down at the end of verse 11. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own language. That's what they are saying, and that's what they are hearing. And the wonders of God, I imagine mainly is going to be as well, you know, the wonders of God, but also the death and the resurrection of Jesus being declared in their own language, and that will be taken. Verse 12, amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? What does this mean? The wonders of God, I think they understood. What does it mean that these guys are speaking our own language? This is a miracle. This is amazing. Something is happening here. And what I want to talk about is what I think is happening here is what we're coming to in Ephesians chapter 2. And so go back with me, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 2. And we'll start in verse 14. I know it was read already, but we'll read it again. Oops, sorry. For he himself, Jesus, is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself a new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. Their hostility. What kept them divided? That one group was in and one group was out. The law and what it did was a contract, was an agreement between the Israelites and God that he would be their God and they would be his people. They would be his people, yeah. But of course, they couldn't keep their end of the bargain. We know how that story goes. But what it meant was that others were out and there was a wall there, whether they knew it or not, whether they wanted to be on the other side of the wall or not. It didn't matter. The wall was there and it was just impossible. But Jesus came and eliminated that wall of hostility, that barrier that kept some people out. And he opened up God's grace and his mercy and his compassion and entry into his kingdom for all people. That's what he did on the cross. Yes, he died for your sins. That's a part of it. That is the barrier. Sin is a barrier that keeps us from God. But beyond that, even more than that, as amazing as that is, any regulation, any law, any commandment that God had that kept you apart has now been taken care of. And Jesus has gained entry for you into God's kingdom. Verse 17 says, he came and he preached peace to you who are far away. Gentiles is what Paul's saying. Those that weren't in the covenant. He preached peace to you who are far away and peace to those who were near. Because the Israelites, even though they had the commandments, even though they had the law, couldn't keep it. And so they were also excluded. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Verse 19. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers. You once were. You were kept out, but you no longer are foreigners and strangers. But instead, you are fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. Too often I think that we view Judaism and Christianity as two separate religions. Judaism fulfilled. This is what has been promised. This is what was told from the beginning, that through this people group, through this law, I am going to bring about salvation for all people. And that is where we are at. God used the Israelites and out of them came Jesus. And he used Jesus as a Messiah to open up for all mankind. And so this is not a line that is drawn and one over here and one over here. This is the fulfillment of. And we are one household. We are one people when we submit to Jesus. When we realize that he is the one that gives us access to the Father. And so we're able to call someone like Abraham our ancestor and Moses. And we have this history because it's the same story that's continuing on. A new story wasn't began with the death of Jesus. The story has been fulfilled. That's the climax, right? This is what has been promised. And this is where we are at today. We are fellow citizens with God's people. Oftentimes we think that we were always God's people. And we are his people. And that other, at one time we weren't. And it's good to remember that. It's good to keep that humility. That Jesus has allowed those of us who had no place, who had no right to be his people. And so that's where we're at. And so we are members of this household. But I want to look at this household here that Paul talks about. This household, he says, is built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Their teaching. The prophets, as they proclaimed one day, in the day of the Lord, as the coming of the Messiah, as they laid the foundational work for this new humanity that we find in the church. They were foundational. And then the apostles, as they came and preached Jesus crucified and resurrected and laid the foundation for which this house would be built upon. And look at Jesus. He's not called the foundation, right? He is called the chief cornerstone. The chief cornerstone that all other stones should line up with and look like and copy from. Right? That's who Jesus is. And we want to be a stone in this house that looks like the cornerstone. Verse 21. In him, Jesus, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. This is very similar to what... but also very different to what went on in Babylon, right? With the Tower of Babel. The desire to build a city for ourselves, our own kingdom, right? We think of cities as, within a larger context of a state and a nation. But at that time, a city would be a city-state. It would be its own kingdom. A king would be over a city, right? And we want to build our own cities and build our own monuments and our own towers to ourselves or to whatever it is that I think defines me. My own people, my own identity, my own history, my own tradition, my own culture. I want to do that, right? Whether it's for myself or... But that's much like Babylon. That's building with brick and mortar and tar by human hands and trying to accomplish something that will not last forever. And we have been blessed with the gift to get to be a part of a kingdom, a city, monument that will stand forever. We have a God that is real that we don't make with hands, right? We have a God that says, I can't be seen. Don't make an image of me because it's not me. There are gods that people worship that they build with their own hands. There are gods that are made out of brick and stone, but they're not real, right? They're made by human hands. And we understand that and we get that. But then we want to turn around and we want to build cities and monuments with our own hands out of brick from the dirt. And with tar to hold it together, thinking it will last well beyond us so that we can have a name for ourselves. But it's not going to work. We have the opportunity to be a part of a city and a kingdom where Jesus is the chief cornerstone. And it's not joined together by tar, but it's joined together by Him. And I can be a part of this kingdom and have the Spirit of God dwell in me and in us as we grow together in what He's already been doing and continues to do. And where before we would find commonality of because we shared one language or we like the same things or we have the same tradition and the same history, God enters into the picture and says, those things they're good, but they're not eternal. I want you to have different languages. Because you're going to find unity not in what the similarities you have, but you're going to find unity in me because that's what's eternal. And so, church, as we look out into the world, our commonality is Jesus Christ. And if you believe in Jesus and I believe in Jesus, we're of the same family and we're of the same kingdom. And that's where we find our unity in Jesus and realize that He's the one that joins us together and holds us together and gives us the ability to be in this kingdom. It's amazing that Jesus has done it all, right? He opened the door for us. He molds us and shapes us into what the stone He wants. He holds us together and then He fills us. He does it all. We just have to be willing participants. It's a beautiful thing He's done for us. Too often, we want to go and do it on our own, with our own hands, our own abilities. And we work hard and we build things that won't last. And we keep doing that. And God's inviting us into something much greater, right? Something much greater. And allows us to be a part of something beautiful. He's a loving God. He's an inclusive God. And we are the ones that are allowed to come and submit to Him. And His will for us in our lives, which are actually better than anything we could devise or create for ourselves. We are blessed people. This morning, if you have not come to be a part of this family of God, if you are still on the outside, if there is still a barrier keeping you from being into God's family, know that Jesus has destroyed that barrier. All it takes for you is to walk through. Step over the rubble of what was once something that kept you away. Take on Jesus Christ in baptism. Give your life to Him and enter into this building that continues to be built. Be the next stone in this household. Be filled with the Spirit of God to be used by Him. If there's anything that this church can offer for you, if we can pray for you, if you'd like to give your life to Jesus Christ, we offer you that invitation now as we stand and sing.